This is Whitney Gaskell interviewing Donna Erickson on life in the North Hills of Missoula. So, Donna, if you could tell me where and what year you were born, that would be great.
I was born at St. Pat's Hospital in Missoula in 1952.
Thank you. Okay, and if you could please describe your family in terms of what did your parents do for a living, or what did... And how many siblings did you have growing up? Those kinds of things.
I have a brother, Ken, that's a good bit younger than me. And when I was growing up, my grandparents owned and operated the ranch in the North Hills. And my parents, my early years, were in the restaurant business. And then when my grandfather died, they purchased the ranch, and then we're sort of ranching and in the restaurant business at the same time for many years, and also had other property that they managed.
Mm-hmm. About how old were you when your grandfather died?
I was 11, I think.
11. So, okay, and was the restaurant in Missoula, what was it called?
The Trail Cafe.
Nice, okay. And you could describe it as a ranch?
And then the Stockyard Cafe, too.
Okay. And you describe it as a ranch. What was it? Sheep, cattle? What were the different things that they were producing?
They raised cattle. They raised Hereford cattle and then got into some other breeds too later. So that was the main economic venture, but we also had sheep, and we had registered Appaloosa horses, which we raised for many years. And then other animals, you know, milk cow and various other livestock, but the cattle was the main thing, on the grazing on the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow any vegetables?
A garden, you know, and hay for the cattle. So we had hay fields up in the, above the house, but not truck farming or anything.
Okay. And is there an orchard on that property? I know that.
No, not like there is at the Randolph's Mill.
Okay, great. And what brought your grandparents were the original owners of that parcel in the North Hills. What brought your family to Montana?
Well, they were the original owners in my family.
Right. They bought it from the Sunnisons.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was an immigrant from Norway. He was actually born in Iowa when his family was on their way to the gold rush in Alaska, but then was raised in Norway and then emigrated back to the United States early in the century, and ended up in Montana and lived in Missoula. And during the Depression, the story as I understand it, he had a truck and he hauled stuff for people, and he hauled trash. And he saved enough money to buy the ranch, basically, by the early 40s.
Okay, great. Did he always want to own land in the States? Was that part of his dream? Or?
I think so. He came from a farming family. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it was a expectation and a basic lifestyle. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, really. I was close with my grandparents, but not... Didn't know a lot of those motivations they had in their earlier part of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Did they meet in the States or?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Okay, and was your grandmother from Norway as well?
No, uh-uh. She was from the eastern part of Montana.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So speaking of the ranch up there, when you lived on the ranch, or you can talk about the restaurant as well, what kinds of chores did you have growing up?
I worked really, really hard as a child, and a lot of chores, both, you know, haying and milking and riding, wrangling cattle and horses, and just, you know, you name it, kind of, feeding the chickens. I didn't have an older sibling, brother or sister, and so I was kind of the right-hand man, helping with fencing and helping with all phases of, you know, working and learning about a lot of hands-on stuff in all phases of both the ranch and, you know, to some extent, to a great extent, the restaurants too.
Mm-hmm. And Did you enjoy those chores, or was it just something you didn't think about? So you had to do it?
Well, it's mixed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly joys in that with particular animals. But no, getting up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. in the winter, or, you know, to check on cattle and calves being born, that's not fun for anybody. Mm-hmm. So, so it's mixed, you know. There's a lot of fond memories, and I'm grateful for having learned how to do a lot of things and how to work with my hands and how to be a kind of problem solver. But, you know, it's not all fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course not. Do you remember any of those fonder times? Like, did you have any favorite animals or particular chores that you really loved?
Well, the horses was a big thing, and we showed, you know, when I was growing up, I was in 4-H for like 10 years from the time I was 9 to 20, I was in 4-H. So a lot of the happy stuff revolved around that, you know, having a steer that I was raising for 4-H and taking care of it and keeping records on it and, you know, doing the fair thing and all that. So, yeah, that's probably the favorite part. And of course, other kids involved in that. And I was a little isolated and alone because my brother wasn't born until I was 12. And so I was kind of, you know, growing up alone up there.
Mm-hmm.
The 4-H brought other kids to the ranch and me off to other places for 4-H, and which was connected to chores.
Right.
So I guess that. That's what comes to mind.
Was the 4-H cattle or sheep?
It was a regular 4-H club. You could take whatever project you wanted, and mm-hmm. I would always have sheep. So I always, every year I was in 4-H, I had a sheep project, but I would often have a beef steer project too, or a horse one, or, you know, sewing or whatever, you know. So every year was kind of different in terms of what projects each individual 4-H club member decided to do.
Right. And were those in Missoula, or did you travel the state for those 4-H?
The club was in Missoula. It was called the Ridge Runners. And my parents kind of started that club with some other parents, actually. We used to meet out in the DeSmit School, that little brick schoolhouse that's still out on way West Broadway past the airport. So we would meet there, have meetings there, and then we wouldn't travel around the state for 4-H. The main thing was just the Missoula County Fair, and I think that's what it was called at that time, now Western Montana Fair, in the late summer. That was the big culmination of the whole 4-H year, you know. Mm-hmm. But we traveled for showing horses, but that in horse shows, but that wasn't with 4-H per se.
Mm-hmm. So are those horse shows, were they rodeos or were they different riding?
No, they wouldn't have rodeos. No. Mm-hmm. They would be a horse, you know, exhibits of confirmation for different breeds and for trail classes and pleasure riding and so forth. It would totally
so
different.
That was through 4-H as well?
No, that's not through 4-H. That's mm-hmm. just through horse shows that are put on, and you pay a registration fee to enter it, and then you compete for ribbons and prizes in all these different categories. And it's a very different culture than rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
Very different group of people.
Okay. So beyond work and the farm, did you have any special things you did with your parents, or was it always were you always very busy on the farm or ranch?
Always busy there, you know, and hard time to get away. The main way we got away was my family, since back in the 40s, has had a small cabin at Seeley Lake. And so that would be the getaway and sort of where a lot of the family gatherings and kind of vacation time would be boating and spending time at the lake.
Oh, wonderful. Do you water ski?
Mm-hmm. I did when I was young. I don't anymore.
That's wonderful. When did you, it sounds like you didn't have a lot of it, but when you did have free time, what kinds of things did you like to do?
Ride
your horses?
Mm-hmm.
Did you use have a specific horse that was yours, or were there just... Mm-hmm. How many horses would you have on the ranch at a given time?
Oh, I don't know. Up to maybe 50, I don't know, something like that, mm-hmm. at the most. Yeah, I would have my own, and so I would ride all over the ranch and way back beyond it into the Rattlesnake, what's now the rec area. Oh, and riding with friends, that was kind of the biggest thing, I think, yeah, for pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So what were your favorite places on the farm and the hills around? You just mentioned the Rattlesnake and riding around the ranch. Did you
the upper part, the you know, going up toward the top at the where the timber starts, and then going back over in the other side. And for many years, my parents leased land back on the back side of their property, going down toward the recreation area and this wonderful meadow there, mm-hmm. and that now has houses in it. But so that was a real favorite place, going down through the woods and going to that meadow. You know, all of, you know, most, I'm just fond of a lot of it. I mean, we had a lot of place names too. We would have like the Four Corners, you know, and everybody in our family knows what that means. And it's a place where our land comes together. It's literally a four corners with the fences, mm-hmm. where the Ryans is in one corner, and the 120 that's now owned by the city with the easement on it, that would be the one another quarter, mm-hmm. and then the other two corners were part of the ranch. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just the concept of those sort of place names. And another important one is the Lone Pine, mm-hmm. which is a lone ponderosa pine tree over on the eastern side of the property that you can see from the whole Rattlesnake Valley.
Oh, wow.
That my, you know, going back to my grandparents' generation, called it that, and so do my kids, you know.
Wonderful. Can you remember any of those other place names?
The Basin is this one kind of land form up in the, what we call the Big Pasture. The Big Pasture is a section, a mile square, in the northernmost part of the ranch. And so the Big Pasture is a place name, and then within it is this one place called the Basin. It's just this wonderful bowl that you can't see from down below. It's kind of hard to describe, but just this wonderful little nook, you know, up there.
That sounds lovely. So you already said that you went into the Rattlesnake. Was it unusual for a girl in those days to go up into the ride up there by yourself, or did you have to be with friends?
No,
You didn't go by yourself?
It wasn't unusual to go by yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, typically, I guess I wouldn't go far by myself up into the Rattlesnake, mm-hmm. you know, into the wilderness or anything. No. But I would ride all over the ranch by myself, and even surrounding land with permission or whatever. By myself, that wasn't an issue at all.
Mm-hmm. Do you, while we're on that, is there anything different about expectations, you think, to children or girls specifically from when you were growing up to now that you can think of?
I don't know. I mean, it varies so much from family to family, and I'm not around really active ranching families anymore enough to know, mm-hmm. you know, how those girls are raised and what the work expectation is or the safety expectation or whatever. So I don't know. I guess I can't answer that.
Okay, that's fine. What kinds of things did your family eat? What were there special treats that you could get on special occasions, or what would a typical meal be like? Do you have any?
Well, we ate our own meat a lot. My dad made pies, and I learned how to make pies from him and from my grandmother. So pies were kind of a big deal, still are. You know, we did have our own food. We did a lot of canning and put up a lot of food. we would sometimes take pack trips back up into the Rattlesnake, the whole family. We did that a few times where we would pack into the Rattlesnake for several days as a vacation kind of thing up mm-hmm. into the Rattlesnake Lakes. And we'd have, you know, camp food, mm-hmm. which was special like it is for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. You know, we cooked a lot from scratch and had a lot of our own stuff, our own milk and meat and everything. So I don't know about treats, you know. And then the restaurant, having the restaurants kind of colored it all too, because you've always got sort of leftover restaurant food. So we lived on that a lot too.
Yeah. Was your mom a cook in the restaurant?
My dad was more the cook. My mom was the waitress.
Uh-huh. Oh, yummy. So, did your, maybe not, I don't know, you or anyone in your family hunt and trap? Was that a part of the culture when you
no,
were growing up?
No, not much. My grandfather did, was a big-time hunter and fisherman. And we have, you know, beautiful racks that he got from hunting exploits. But my parents didn't. Mm-mm.
Okay. Where did you go to school?
I went to Lowell School and then Hellgate High School.
Where is the Lowell School?
Lowell.
Lowell?
Lowell. Mm-hmm. It's on the west side.
West side. Okay. Can you describe how school was for you back then?
Well, it was a long trek home walking. So, I guess, you know, school was a little bit, I was a real introvert. And so, and really shy, so I had trouble making friends. And then that was compounded by kind of living in a really isolated place. And you can't just go over to somebody's house after school, you know. You have to walk home and do chores and whatever. And so it was kind of lonely, you know. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I was kind of a good student, so I kind of, that was rewarding. But yeah, the walk home, that's what I remember.
How long was it?
Well, you know, from Lowell School is like on Sherwood and Phillips Streets.
Mm-hmm. Kind of over.
Over by, how do I describe where it is? Well, it's now even called the North Side. The North Side used to be called everything north of the tracks. Now everybody calls the North Side everything kind of north of the river. So anyway, Lowell mm-hmm. School is just a bit north of Broadway, mm-hmm. a few blocks. So walking from there to the ranch is a good, what, a couple miles? I don't know.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask you how you got to school. So you always walked?
Well, I didn't walk to school always. They took me to school. Or sometimes when I got older, like when I was, like, let's say, 7th and 8th grades, because I went through 8 grades at Lowell, mm-hmm. I would take a little motorized bike, like a little, what do you call it? Not a go-kart. What do you call it? A little moped. down to the north side, and there was somebody who would let me keep it in their garage, and then I would walk over the viaduct. There used to be this walking overpass viaduct over the railroad tracks, and then the school was just like a block from that. So I would do that to get to school. And then younger years, I would they would take me a good bit of the time. And in
your parents?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And when I was my early years in school, we didn't live at the ranch because my parents hadn't purchased it yet, although I was there a lot from a very early age. I was there with my grandparents a lot. But so we actually lived not too far from the school at one point. Mm-hmm. And then my father would take me to, in big snows and storms, there were a couple times when he would take me to school in a horse-drawn sleigh. Mm. That was the epitome.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Did you... when you moved up to the ranch, obviously you were in town a lot when your parents were working in the restaurant. Did you go into town often, and what did you do in town?
Yeah, the ranch is so close to town that we went to town all the time. I mean, yeah, hardly a day go by that you don't have to go get parts or run for something. So, yeah, mm-hmm. We were in town a lot.
A lot, okay. How did you celebrate holidays?
Big meals and a lot of family around, and we'd go to the lake cabin sometimes for holidays, like for instance the 4th of July or something. We'd be up there skiing and stuff. I didn't grow up in a real religious family, so that wasn't a huge part of a lot of holidays. Cooking, eating, being with family.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing stands out as particularly unusual with that.
Did you cut down your own Christmas tree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Did you make your own decorations or decorate very much for anything?
Yeah, for Christmas we did. Mm-hmm. Some handmade, but not that much, really. No.
Mm-hmm. All right. Were there any... You talked about the... What did I write down about that? The Missoula County Fair, and I was going to ask if you remembered any other local festivities or traditions, and if you could kind of expand on the fair. Tell me about that.
The fair was just the epitome of the year in many ways, because I can remember, the exciting day of the day before the fair started is when all of the 4-H kids and their families would haul their livestock into the fair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just vividly remember coming down South Avenue, riding in the back, and of course then you rode in the back of the pickup all the time, all over the place, and riding in the back with a livestock rack on the truck, and the steer and the sheep are in there, and I'm back there with them, and coming down South Avenue and seeing the Ferris wheel and all the other carnival stuff, and just the excitement, it's just like it was just wonderful, mm-hmm. So the anticipation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the horse racing, and for a few years we had horses that we raced in the horse races. And so that was a big deal, a big part of it. And it was just the social event of the year. You would see everybody, you'd put in long hours out there, and my mom would work in the 4-H booth selling hamburgers, and so it was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. So there are rides and horse racing.
Rides and racing, and then all the exhibits. And so you're showing your animals and getting prizes, or, mm-hmm. Trying to get good ribbons, and, washing the animals. And, there's just so much to the whole routine that goes into all that
mm-hmm.
it's really its own culture. So that was a big part of our summer life.
Yeah. How did you go about getting horses ready for racing?
We would train. We would hire someone to train them. And so the horses, we had two different horses that we raced over the years. And you would keep them at the fairgrounds at other times of the year. They would be boarded there and they would be trained. And then a jockey would ride them in the races. So there wasn't that much preparation to it, really. They're either fast or they're not, And then the training. So, yeah, that was just kind of a sideline, really.
Mm-hmm. For fun?
For fun, primarily. I did make some money. In fact, I made enough money to pay my tuition at the University of Montana in 1970. When I started, the University of Montana was in 1970, right out of high school. And I paid my tuition by winnings with the horse that we raced.
Oh, wow. So
tuition was like $150, though, keep in mind.
So was
per quarter.
The bets people place, is that kind of is there a pool that you get the winnings from if your horse wins?
Yeah, with Pari Mutuel. bedding. It's all mm-hmm. has to do with the bedding, I think. Or maybe the purse is arranged ahead of time. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Were there any other things, any other traditions beyond the fair in town that you remember? Anything for the 4th
well,
of July? Or
we would go watch we would go up on Randolph's Hill and watch the 4th of July fireworks in town, mm-hmm. which we'd had a great vantage
point. Oh, I bet that was great.
Yeah. What else? No, you know, we didn't participate a lot in the kind of social or cultural life of town much. We were more kind of aligned with the people doing ranching stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What about your neighbors? Who were they at the time when you were growing up, and did you see them often or do any kind of work together cooperatively, mm-hmm. that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, the neighbors were primarily the three ranches that lived close together on the same road, the Carlsons, the Spurlocks, and the Randolphs. Mm-hmm. And so Bill Randolph was our neighbor my whole time growing up. In my parents' or grandparents' generation, of course, they knew his parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up knowing Bill very well, and the Carlsons. And we would see each other a lot, just kind of on the road. And there was definitely collaboration in sharing machinery to some extent. Not mm-hmm. a great deal, but sharing equipment some, or helping out neighbors. A lot of it would revolve around keeping up the fences and cattle and sheep getting out. And so you got to go tell the neighbor that their cattle is out and they have to come get them, you have to take them over. You know, so a lot of it is about sort of managing the livestock and the fencing
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, I remember sometimes going to see Bill as a child, even more socially, just kind of as a kid, and I'd go down and I'd see him and I'd go into his house. I remember many times sitting in the house with him, just talking and just hanging out, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember times going and telling him, you know, his goats. We could see things from up where our place was. You could see down into areas of the Randolph place that he couldn't necessarily keep an eye on all the time. So we could see, like, when the goats were out, you know, mm-hmm. he didn't necessarily know. I remember one time we learned that his land was on fire on the other side of the hill, on the town side.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, plowing with his team of horses. And I had to run down there, like run behind him and try to catch him and holler so he could hear me to tell him that his land was on fire. So, you know, so there were, and we had, the other thing is,
How did he put it out?
I don't remember what happened. I don't remember that part. Yeah, and we were on the same phone line with, you know, back then there would be more than one family on a phone line.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill would be on ours. So to this day, I catch myself picking up the phone to see if there's a dial tone before I dial.
Oh.
Because you might pick up the phone and hear Bill talking on it, and then you put it down again, you know. And so that habit of after all these years, I've laughed at myself that I have still have that habit of waiting to see if there's a dial tone before I use the phone.
That's funny. So how have the North Hills changed since you were growing up in terms, obviously there's a huge change in land use, but you can talk about that, and even wildlife, native plants, anything like that that you may have noticed, how have they changed?
Well, the weed problem, of course, that's changed, and land use has changed in terms of actively grazing the land like it was, and so it's a lot more quiet up there now in many ways, and although it's busier in others because it's been discovered by town and there's a lot of people walking on the Randolph Place and stuff. So Yeah, it is different. You know, it's not families making a living there too much anymore. My mother doesn't make her main living on the ranch itself. So, and nobody's making a living per se on the Randolph place. Carlson's still have their cattle, so Archie does. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Not as actively managed. And so, I don't know. It does feel different up there.
Mm-hmm. What about Missoula? Can you talk a bit about things you may have done in Missoula, movie theaters, or things you like to go into town to do, and how the town of Missoula has changed?
Well, just the growth. I don't think, you know, in many ways, it's just kind of more yuppie, and the downtown is more upscale and so forth than it was, of course. We all know that. I did like the downtown area and like to walk around and see the shops and stuff. And I remember I was kind of the only one in my family that was kind of like that. I think still I am. I had a little bit of urban blood in me back then, you know. And we would go to swim in the Frenchtown Pond. That was one thing we, you know, friends in high school age, like, would go do, or drive around up on Blue Mountain or something. What else? Movies. I don't know. I don't remember anything else.
This is a little bit of a sidetrack, but how have the businesses in downtown Missoula changed? Do you remember the kinds of shops that were there before?
Well, yeah, there used to be a drugstore and, you know, a place where you could buy, drugstores and probably the most apt example, and there, you know, isn't there anymore. There aren't any down the town anymore. Mm-hmm. You can still buy, you know, I was going to say, well, you could buy a pair of socks, but you still can. There's still the Army Navy and the... You know, when I was growing up, going to the Mercantile was a really big deal. You know, was really going to the Missoula Mercantile, which is now then became the Bond and then became Macy's. So the Merc was the important downtown department store, and I loved going there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all the places to eat, there weren't so many, you know, people didn't eat out as much. There wasn't upscale restaurants and stuff, so.
And how did your childhood affect what you ended up doing as an adult? I definitely see a correlation.
Yeah. I think the love of natural resources and the environment and the land runs just totally deep with me, and that is exactly what I ended up doing, becoming a landscape architect and a landscape planner, and that's directly related to growing up where I did. You know, I go back to the 4-H experience a lot because I think often that was really critical in my upbringing. It brought a sort of structure to working with other people and doing a project and seeing it to completion and sort of doing some research. And I think often that is directly led to, or indirectly led to, sort of a professional aspirations. And, you know, and I had a lot of time, as I said, alone, and I love to read and write and stuff. And so, you know, all that leads to academia directly.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep journals?
Some. Mm-hmm. More read, I suppose, really. Writing kind of came later. So, yeah, I think all that's formative.
What were your favorite books?
Everything. My mom still has the complete set of the original first edition Zane Grey books. So I would read those a lot, those Westerns, you know. And we had the whole Nancy Drew series. And, you know, anything I could get my hands on. You know, I'd read the phone book if I was desperate. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. On the lines of favorite books, were there any favorite toys or things like that that you remember even from way back?
I wasn't into dolls or anything at all. No, toys. I don't remember toys much. It was more the animals, you know, the focus on family pets. We always have dogs. Yeah, I don't have a strong connection to childhood toys, really.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything else you can remember that you stands out of your childhood, anything like that you can think of? Kind of putting on the spot. It's okay if you don't have anything.
Yeah. But. I'm sure I'll think of something when I leave, but but I'm not thinking of anything now. Yeah, it was a great place to grow up. You know, kind of unusual Missoula upbringing in some ways.
What do you mean by that?
Well, compared to the kids that grew up in town.
Right.
You know, right. Maybe not unusual compared to other ranch kids, but...
From Missoula.
Yeah, from Missoula. And given that we were so close, that was always the odd thing, is we were so close and yet so apart, you know. And it's still kind of like that up there.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.